Hello and welcome to the first episode of FinTalk, brought to you by Vermeg. Here we discuss pressing topics in FinTech, RegTech, covering regulatory, collateral and digital across banking, insurance and finance. Vermeg has been proud to deliver innovative software solutions in these industries with stability and cost efficiency for a global roster of clients. With over 20 years of trusted transformation in finance and insurance, we're bringing industry's top experts to FinTalk. I'm Gerard Acter, Senior Consultant at Vermeg, and I'll be your host for this podcast. Let's kick off. Today, we are kicking off a podcast with the regulatory sector. And for today's guest, we have someone who's been in the regulatory industry for over two decades and has worked with Vermeg in very senior roles. A well-known, knowledgeable personality. Without further ado, I'd like to welcome James Phillips. Hello, James.
Gerard, hello, good afternoon, and hello to everybody who is listening into the podcast.
Fantastic. James, last time we met in person was at the conference when Vermeg did their annual Reg conference in November in person, which is a huge achievement in this current climate. And from listening to client feedback and speakers' feedback, it seems to be a massive success. Mm-hmm. You kindly emceed for us. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to see what your feedback was, what your initial response was. I know we covered some key topics. You know, Oscar Tabeed's Dear CEO was a major major topic. We had industry experts come and go.
Yep.
So yeah, welcome your thoughts.
Okay. Well, thank you, John. Yes, I think it was a event crucial to everybody. It got everyone back together again. We themed it Hello Again, in fact, because it was an opportunity to meet, to bring our thought leadership to the client audience and indeed the others that we had there, the influencers, the opinion formers and regulators that we had in the conference. And it was a fantastic opportunity to do so in amongst the various lockdowns and so on, and to get back into the swing in the way that we have always done. And I say that actually perhaps to add to the introduction that you offered me, and I think I only said merely hello, a little bit more than that. Yes, as you rightly say, and to put it in context, I had been with the company in its various evolutions over many, many years and tried to always drive the thought leadership that Vermeg has in this space. It's an important part of the ingredients that we bring to our clients, to the firms that follow what we do and that have a reliance to some extent on the thinking that we can bring and the forward view into the horizon of what's coming in to impact them. So that was very much what the conference was about. It was on my patch, as it were, because that's very much the role that I perform. And so it was a delightful opportunity to curate that, to bring it together, and indeed to see the success of the event. As you rightly said, I think the feedback was excellent. We had a vibrant day with people coming and going through the whole agenda from the morning to the afternoon and all the various breakout sessions, opportunities to meet people again and opportunities to see them face to face. We covered, as you said, the key themes. These, of course, covered some of the primary requirements that firms have got to attend to in the coming weeks after then, so through the first to second quarter perhaps of this year. The Dear CEO and September 2021 Dear CEO on the reliability of regulatory reporting was a big theme. Perhaps we can cut into the details of that in a moment. But we also covered, for example, some of the things on Vermeg's own roadmap, the delivery of requirements into the delivery of CRR2, the latest 8-point model upgrades, the move to BEADS as the transmission mechanism by the Bank of England. And for instance, we also tried to explore, say, the extent to which the move to accelerated, perhaps, move towards a more hybrid environment of working from home has brought firms' management to think more directly, more immediately about the possible opportunities for working through web-based solutions as well, including for regulatory reporting. So we mentioned that to our reporter, the Vermeg software on that. And the last piece that I'll remind everybody about was that we, of course, kept alongside the regulator's own agenda as the move towards, in this context, the Transforming Data Collection Initiative being run by the Bank of England and the FCA was also discussed at the event. Again, Vermeg will be staying alongside that to make sure that we, as a firm, remain aware and wherever we can contribute to the process of that transformation. It's a multi-year program, but it was important to flag it up as being very, very pertinent. So those were Those are big themes. There obviously is a day's worth. There has been a write-up prepared of the conference event. If anybody listening here would like a copy of that, I'm sure we can get it across to them. So yeah, it was a good catch-up.
Indeed. Thank you, James. And I just want to dissect that day, because I know we covered quite some key topics, and that was one of the feedbacks that we got from clients, was clients and prospects, that there were some key speakers. So we had industry experts that come on board that did a panel session discussing the Dear CEO letter in more detail and, you know, taking questions from the floor, as well as consulting firms who presented, you know, kind of a worst case scenario, things that firms should look out for. So just to cover that area to start with, you know, your feedback was, you know, how you saw it. You know, you've been in the industry for a long time, James, and, you know, I've been on both sides of the fence now. So it's very much interested to see what your thoughts were on that, and then, see how we can...
On the Dear CEO specifically?
Yeah,
so that session to dissect that section. I think the key thing I would draw out is that this isn't the first time that the PRA had drawn this kind of issue, where the issue is about the quality of the reporting. In this context, it was more specifically reliability, so it was driving into the question of data quality, governance, controls, and frankly the level of investment that firms have put into the whole process, not necessarily the software, but the whole process and the engineering around it. I think the thing that I'd draw out this time, as I say, it's not the first time this has been raised, is that the sense that I now got from this and from the discussion from the contributors, the key subject matter experts there, including some of the consulting inputs we had, is that it's really very much more in your face. It's much more likely to be associated with an increase in the deployment of prudential tools, and indeed of the Section 166s as a specific inquiry into the extent to which firms are actually addressing these issues. The fact that the Dear CEO had to draw out, for instance, that it is now the regulator's opinion that regulatory reporting has been a second-class citizen compared to financial reporting, and that it frankly shouldn't be, was put across as being a rather sad thing, and that it's about time that the industry perhaps looked at it differently to being maybe something that's had to catch up or had to make do with a minor part of the overall budget, the operational processes that the firm have had to do. So it becomes much more embedded, it becomes much more a part of the governance cycle of the firm. The sign-off isn't just to tick a box on the basis that somebody that you've relied on for many years has been able to say it's good, but to actually know that it's good, which of course requires much more in the way of visibility. Perhaps that might mean tolerances, it might mean variances, it might be more management information to give qualitative context as well as quantitative to the details, so that management signing off can have that confidence. So that my sense really was it was being brought alive in a way that had not been done so before. There really wasn't going to be any more hanging around on this anymore. And to actually drag it up there and give a very quantifiable measure, is this on an equal level footing to financial reporting in your firm? Yes or no? If not, it's going to fail.
Yeah,
I think that was the sense I got on that, which is not something we've seen before, perhaps.
Yeah, it's probably, you know, we've spoken about it offline, that it's probably the hardest hitting letter that I've seen. And speaking to the panel members that were there, you know, representing consultancy firms, banks bodies as well. So they were quite, you know, on the assumption that, yes, this is, you know, a lot more serious than everyone's thinking. And one of the panel members quoted that the reg reporting is seen as the lesser cousin of financial reporting, and that needs to change. And for me, the key take on that is the investment side of it. As a vendor, we do a lot of that kind of work, you know, with all our clients, even our prospects. We discuss a lot of that elements of it. From your point of view, from that, to cover that off, what's your kind of advice to clients to say, look, you know, I know it's a firm see it as a money pit. Is it wasted money? Or could we turn it around? You know, the tools that we offered in our toolkit and the investment that we're doing on our side.
Yeah.
How can they benefit from that and utilise that to be more in their benefit?
That is an interesting take, of course, is that the investment, I think what you're referring to, the investment specifically, Vermeer has made an investment in the roadmap of the product to enable it to be more functionally rich for clients so that they get more out of the investment that they make in it. But there is also, I think, the point where the regulator is coming from is not just a matter of investment in the tools. It's an investment in the process, in the data sourcing, in the assurance that the data quality is good, in the assurance that the reliability is good, and in the process that they use. So that could mean, as a for example to the question you asked me, what could be advice, you know, around such things as, say, the workflow process that the client uses, it may still be legacy. I'll call it that, if only because it perhaps hasn't been tested or trialed particularly, or put to be maintained or upgraded to cater for changed and more challenging data circumstances or to the challenges of new compliance reporting. So I think the opportunity for firms to... Let's break it down. If you look at the governance aspects, the systems controls aspects, the data aspects and the investment aspects that are being asked for by the regulators, and what specifically could come out of that from the supply that we make to a customer or the customer makes to themselves, so we can call it that, in terms of their own access to their data. Yeah. So for instance, we could engage with a client to lift the drain. So do an MOT, a health check around what they're doing. That's an investment in some ways, yeah. By the money pit, I would hope, because it'd be a one-off exercise for a customer to say, look, guys, could you come in, please, take a look at what we're doing at the moment? Should it be or could it be improved objectively? Have you seen anything from other customers that maybe is a useful working process around this? When I refer to workflow, I'm not just talking about the process of, has the data been updated? Has it been sourced? Has it been uploaded? Has it been computed? Has it been validated? Has it been variance checked? As it be. But along the way, who's signing that off? So the responsibility and accountability for the different quality gates involved along the way, are they a part of a formal process? If not, should they be? And if they are, can that be upgraded in some way? So as to most certainly pass such a test around the governance and controls piece, if a health check were to come in from a regulator or from a third-party consulting firm prior to a Section 166 threat, let's say. You know, so there are those kind of things. I think also there are probably going to be, if, again, I come back to the proposed mention of something like a health check or an MOT, if you will, I've heard it spoken as both, there could be many long-standing data issues that firms have learnt to live with. They have workarounds that are actually perhaps no longer necessary. There may be an upgrade to the source system that now enables the data to be captured better. There may be a better understanding of the definition that was used as an assumption before that can allow it to be codified now. There may therefore, to extrapolate that, be an over-reliance on, unnecessarily so, on spreadsheets, which again was a target for specific criticism, yeah, that could be eliminated. Certainly they can be perhaps embedded in lookup tables instead of in spreadsheets, or in some way systematized and no longer being an operational risk or something that would be sniffed at by, again, an inspector. Or somebody inspecting on behalf of the regulator. So, yeah, what I've tried to cover there are areas, I suppose they are actually all broadly areas of investment, yeah, around the process of gathering data, quality controlling it, elimination of adjustments, elimination of spreadsheets wherever possible, and enhancement of workflow so as to capture the full scope of what could be best practice around governance and making no assumptions that what you've been doing in the past is good. I think that kind of thing is definitely a service that Vermec could offer to customers across all of those things, if only it's a checklist. We don't own the client's data systems, but we can perhaps at least observe the way in which the data is provided and consider if there may be some way in which, as I say, things like, you know, if there are regular rejections occurring all the time, why? Should that be left to a manual amendment, or could that be invested in to get rid of those amendments? You know, so yeah, I hope that's, well, tried to answer some of the points there that come to my mind.
Yeah, that's I think they're clear. And the points from a client point of view as well is, and we've touched upon this, you know, we speak to clients all the time about legacy systems, key man risk, key man dependency, people move around as well, systems, old systems. And I think that's your point about workflows and doing that health check, right? Doing that lift the drains, kind of have a look underneath. And with people going, process controls tend to kind of stay because you don't want to break it. If it's working, why am I going to break it? So that element of kind of, yeah, refreshing yourself side of that. So that's a fair point to raise that. So in terms of, you know, just to close off that dear CEO side of it, I know we're going to kind of touch upon that. We're going to, throughout this podcast series, we're going to be having industry experts come on board and talk about certain sections that they've been seeing from the market. I know from my point of view, from speaking to clients and prospects and things like that, so kind of things they're talking to us about. Last word on this on this topic. I know it's not going to be the end of it, and we're going to keep hearing about it. And we've had numerous conversations on it this week about it.
But it seems to be a very, very much the thing. That, I mean, the dear CEO in question was late last year, last September, October, November, December, 3 months. Maybe many firms have started processes on this now, but they won't have got through it. So surely it's a large part of what's being done in the first quarter or a couple of quarters of this year is to get comfortable that a firm is doing everything they can reasonably do to ensure that they're up to scratch on the various points. You can always use the Dear CEO letter, that particular one, as a checklist. One can sit there in a project room and go through each paragraph and say, are we dealing with this? Are we dealing with this? Are we dealing with this? And you add to that, sorry, you're trying to get a word, aren't you? But I must have put it in my mind. You add to that the January letters that have also just been released, right?
Where there was that's exactly my follow-up.
So there's Dear CEOs now to the insurance, to the UK depositors and international banks. Dear CEO is a large part of that letter, right? Yeah. Along with a whole chunk of other things around, obviously, the operational risks implied by COVID, around ESG, around diversity and inclusion and so on, and all the other things that are going to be key parts of the 2022 agenda and therefore also key parts of our programme in terms of looking at the incoming horizon and the thinking that needs to be done around that. But yeah, it was still absolutely there. That's a big piece of, oh, by the way, that might have been last year's theme, but hey, no, it's still this year's theme.
I mean, that was the kind of the point I wanted to kind of drag into. With the January Day CEO letters, it was a reaffirmation of that letter. I mean, that was only 3 months ago. I mean, prior to that, there was a letter in October. It was in October 2019, I think it was. The last time I remember seeing the letter there. And it's saying the same thing. And you're right in terms of, yes, that can be a checklist. And all those points are, let's move away from spreadsheets. Let's build these controls. Let's invest. And, it's not investing in just throwing money down the drain. It's just actually investing in the processes exactly as they would do for financial reports.
It's like maintaining a car or something. If you fix it, it's going to be good to you, right? If you don't, it's going to break down every now and then, right? So in this instance, an uninvested process is going to be subject to significant regulatory risk. And I think it's one of the panelists said, to look at the quote on this, investment is cheaper than failure to comply with the regulation. So in this sense, investment in maintaining your car is probably cheaper than the tow truck. Well, it may not be, but the principle behind this, certainly the risk and the inconvenience around it. I think you also asked me earlier just about the ups, the win-win, the not being a money pit by any means. The upside, therefore, of having the maintained car, if you will, from the firm's perspective, is a much higher degree of confidence in the process, sleep at night, if you will, but much higher degree of confidence in the process, in the data being produced by the process, and therefore in its potential usefulness. To the firm, both in terms of giving heads up on key ratios and dynamics. I know that there are certain dashboard facilities, for example, that the client might wish to use, which is perhaps not the case if it's not properly automated or not as automated as it can be, because it's all just in time. It's all just last gasp. It's done up to the minute as opposed to necessarily all the time, or in such a way that it's operationally more automated to be able to be less manually intensive, less in need of key person risk, as you point out. These are all good, really good things to have, and you can bank on them and move on to something else. The high degree of confidence that their ratios are good, the management info that they might want to produce from the regulatory system, let alone from somewhere else. Because again, it's going to get inspected at that level.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, the inspections kind of lead back to add-ons. Firm have add-ons. They're not publicly disclosed at the moment, but they do have add-ons of that. And that's kind of, that's a cost, isn't it? That you don't really want to get better. And the more you can invest in it and have that better running car, you gain that confidence from the regulator, confidence from the market. I know it's been said already, but you're able to then kind of produce those dashboards and actually use the reg reports for business decisions that drive. There's so much information. I've always been an advocate of reg reports contain a lot of information.
I can tell you from going back, there's been a subject that's been discussed many, many times over many, many moons, but it's becoming real because both, I suppose, a mixture of things. One is the technology is moving on to the extent that you can have a higher degree of confidence in granular data at sufficiently lower level and that it's good to go than it was before. Plus, of course, now this enforcement of it being a routine part of the management information layer, not just somebody who's doing reg, but management information layer, makes it a part of that information layer. So it can be used now in that way.
Yeah. I mean, especially with the senior managers regime, where even board levels, members are personally liable for this kind of level of...
For getting it right or wrong, yes.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately they're accountable. So you're personally accountable for that. So there should be that level of, understanding that, we do need to make sure that our car is running and we're going to run it properly. But there is a benefit at the end of it, right? Mm. less audits, less MOTs, less...
less add-ons, as you say, less risk.
Add-ons, less risk.
With the plus side, though, I think what's really interesting about this conversation, Joe, is we're late, perhaps drilling into it in some cases, but it's fair enough, because it was such a large... We didn't deliberately make it a part, 80% of the conference. It wasn't. It was 50% because it was quite an important part.
Yeah.
But it was 80% of the volume, if you will, of the takeaway, of the expression of interest, and of the can you talk to us about this feedback that we got. The rest of it was the transition to BEADS was an important piece, of course, for all banks there as well, needing to know that they had that under place and that they were going to receive an update from Vermeg on the data point model changes. The rest, things like, can we go towards a more digitized environment and work in the web? What are the regulators doing in terms of transforming data collection and making machine-readable regulation in the future? Great to know that you're alongside that, but the key theme, actually, is what do we need to do specifically? Or where there is an upside to this now. I think also, I'll mention it if you weren't going to bring it up, you showed a couple of bits of the software as well at the conference, which I think went down very well, showing more graphical interfaces to the data. Maybe, again, that lends itself to internal MI for the bank management level, for the board or for their key committees, which was perhaps not available without deliberately embracing that type of functionality.
Yeah.
So there really was a, I know this podcast is largely intended to be a part of the discussion around the conference. It's also looking over the next quarter and what other things might be important in the regulatory horizon. We are giving it a lot of time on with this year because it did actually garner a lot of interest,
exactly.
at the event.
And that's the point, isn't it? That we, as a vendor as well, that's very important to us. So any Dear CEO letter that comes out, we take that as seriously as a client would. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to us to know that we have all the tools at our disposal. And that was the presentation that I did with about showcasing what we have and what we will have in the future. So there's definitely scope there to do more. Mm. I just want to touch upon your comments about the Oscar to BEADS. I know from a very perspective, we'll be supporting our clients, no extra charge. And that was really useful to have Bank of England on site.
Yeah, that was useful having the Bank of England presentation specifically on the question of the onboarding that was required. So the testing process that firms should go through. The key challenge for reporting institutions, and this is basically all banks that are submitting statistical reports, banks and building societies are submitting report deposit takers, is that they're moving from an XML-based, relatively simple to understand, almost something you can support and achieve out of your own spreadsheet, to an XBRL-based transmission with more embedded validations, tags, and so on in the metadata. It makes it harder to deal with as a human. It's a necessary part of the transition as far as the bank is concerned to their electronic data collection, BEEDS, which is not just for the collection of the stats information, but for other things as well. It's a piece of extra layer. It's an extra layer of complexity for firms, unfortunately. But yes, as you say, we are going to be introducing it, as I understand, as a natural part of the upgrade program for firms that are using the Vermeg reporting product.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that will be coming soon. But we'll be having further conversations about the Oscar to BEADS transition and providing assistance to clients. So there'll be more kind of watch this space, and we'll be engaging with our clients and prospects about that as well.
Right. Okay. I mean, I think the other thing possibly we wanted to bring up in this discussion, whilst I'll come back to the podcast from time to time, on your invitation, if I'm accepted.
Of course. Always welcome.
Is that we would look at the themes of the minute, whatever they are, for the next 2 or 3 months, however long it'll be. Whilst the Dear CEO is the very pressing item and the one that was the hot topic, if you will, time to take away. It's not the only thing. And as I mentioned, in fact, in January, Dear CEO, there's a discussion in there on the ESG agenda, which, okay, there's a taxonomy yet to be identified. There's what do you mean by, in particular around this, the climate-related reporting, for example. But the issue of ensuring that there is diversity, that there isn't a groupthink risk, these are kind of themes have been brought up as well. So as we go forward in it'll be perhaps reflected as well in the podcast series, but also in other pieces that Vermeg will publish, and where necessary, it'll have to reflect itself in product that we release.
Yep.
But otherwise, it'll be inherent in the thinking that we engage in and the way in which we can help firms with their compliance journey. So, Vermeg will continue to look out for and monitor the ongoing rollout of ESG as to becoming a key part of a future reporting framework and so on. that there will be needing to be within that as well. Also, our forward thinking on other things that are likely coming up. So how does one deal, you know, the dealing with crypto is an obvious example as to the extent to which fair lending and consumer treatment is being done properly. I think these things are all things that we will, you know, they're not necessarily spot central to what Vermeag are doing until they become a report,
yeah,
right, in their own right. But it's important for listeners to this to know that we will be introducing them where relevant to the calendar that you're curating going forwards. And we're very much going to be looking forward to bringing forward appropriate experts in that field as well.
Yes, yeah? Exactly. So that was kind of lead into the natural January Dare CEO ones, the topics that we're going to cover. And they kind of lead nicely into what we're going to be talking about. James, you're definitely going to be coming back to talk to me and enrich my knowledge on things that are happening. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we'll be talking ESG, and I think that's a really hot topic at the moment, and what we've been doing as a Vermeag perspective. And then yeah, going into the future, kind of looking at the topics that are going to impact banks and, you know, those kind of discussions.
I think the one thing that we will also be keeping a close eye on, and perhaps wanted to bring out, I certainly want to bring out a special discussion around it, is going cloud. You know, obviously a lot of implementations that we've got and that clients have got are not fully cloud, but there is that option always available.
Yeah.
I think there are some firms that have got questions around, what does that mean? How do we deal with that operationally? Are there any security issues associated with that? You know, what we could certainly provide worked examples where we can illustrate how implementations like that can work, how they can be partial, what the migration path can be. I think going cloud, no, at the conference we pulled it out as being a subject around the extent to which going, I think I phrased it as going digital, it was really more, you know, about the whole program of shifting towards a more future-proofed, if you will, way of doing things. But specifically around reg reporting, yeah, there is an operational option. It's actually something that possibly even makes more sense in, as I alluded to earlier, in the going forwards, you know, COVID may be over, but hybrid working is going to be here to stay. What does that mean in terms of how firms access their reg reporting workflow? It quite possibly means accessing it partially at home, partially on the train, and partially in the office. This is all, again, perfectly possible, right?
Yeah,
using
exactly
the tools that Vermeag has, not necessarily that the clients currently have yet, but we certainly have and are currently available if you, seriously, listeners, if you want to get on board with them, they're available now. So I think there's but, you know, as firms work their own agendas forwards through 2022, get beyond whatever's pressing, whether that's CRR2 rollout or BEADS or something, and look to their more strategic moves, then going cloud is an obvious one. And I'm sure we'll be discussing that one going later as well. Over and above, as you mentioned, ESG or other thematic themes. But that's one that just comes to mind.
Yeah, cloud is definitely an interesting topic, because I remember clients talking about cloud and having initial concerns around security. There's always a security issue around cloud, wasn't there? There was, I'm not sure. But suddenly there's been a shift.
Especially if you're giving data to somebody else. But that's now, I think, much more accepted.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, you mentioned around the conference. And has COVID accelerated that process? And I assume it has. It definitely accelerated the journey.
Well, I think
journeys.
We've had actual support examples of where situations have arisen, maybe of obviously not desirable, but they have arisen where physical access to the office by people signing things off is just not there. So they have to go to an alternative method. And that workaround is a workaround until you've properly adopted it.
Exactly.
But again, you can properly adopt it if you take the cloud option and embed it into your systems as a proactive piece.
Yeah.
Rather than just something that's had to be done as a tactical option to just get through the period end.
Yeah, and now with the hybrid working coming back in, you know, there's going to be a serious consideration from all firms.
Mm.
It's a question that we're definitely going to discuss.
There is data, and perhaps this is for another conversation, because obviously you will appreciate that I try and keep myself alongside. I'm trying to remember the actual source of this, whoever published it, I don't know. But there's a lot of information now about the extent to which firms have started to really quite accelerate the move towards shifting processes into the cloud, which would have thought to have been not possible.
Yes.
I'm not talking reg, I mean, it's just generally processing.
Yeah.
Irrespective of the hybrid working piece, it's just hugely much more convenient for everyone. Lower cost of operational thing, lower footprints on everything, whether it's machine rooms through to operational risk, or just reduced if you've installed it in some different way. So for sure it's going to come, and I think it's important that everybody understands that Vermeag is on board with this. There's actually a very significant level of digitalization experience within the company at large, which may not be something that our regulatory customers are aware of.
Yeah.
That's worth getting out there too. Yeah, there could even be some experts you could bring to the podcast on this.
Exactly, and that's a journey that we're gonna take clients on and prospects onto that as well. Okay. We've got some cloud experts, should I say, and digital transformation guys that are going to come on board and have that session with
us. I look forward to hearing those.
So yeah, exactly. I'll educate myself as well on that. So yeah, definitely that will be a part of this podcast series. The idea is that we're going to bring people in, right? So not just Vermeg, we're going to have industry experts, our partners as well, that we work quite closely with those guys, to bring them in and just get some feedback, right? Get some knowledge from them, see what they're doing, and you know, is there anything that we're missing or clients should think about? Or so there's quite a vast range of people that are going to be coming on, going to be sharing their knowledge on. And hopefully giving people who are listeners the information they need to kind of go off. And
well, a great result will be to have everybody out there wanting to know when the next one is and plugging into it, because the content's genuinely interesting and easy to listen to, something that can be consumed in an informal way as well, whilst commuting or walking the dog or whatever you want to do, necessarily being a part of the workday. Yeah, fantastic.
James, it's been a pleasure, as always, speaking to you.
Thank you.
Thank you to the listeners. And if there's... anything you guys need to know, feel free to contact Vermeg. You can subscribe to our podcasts on the usual platforms, so we'll be active on Spotify, Apple, and any other platforms that you use. But press subscribe, and we look forward to seeing you next time.